Well, good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel Rock Harvest if you've never been here before. Yeah, Jason. As you can tell, Pastor Robert isn't here today, so he asked me to teach. And it's funny because when he asked me to teach, I'm part of a group text messages. And so they were asking different people who can cover, who can't. And so one of the last few texts were, Mike might be the next man up, get ready. And so I don't know about you guys, but public speaking isn't my strong point. I mean, I know of one person, Sarita, who had to talk in front of people, but how many people enjoy talking in front of groups? Yeah, right. All right, well, for the rest of you, I'm in great company because we're all in the same boat. So, but you know, when you go and you talk in front of people, some of the things that get to you is the nervousness, the anxiety. But with the support that I've had here at this church, with our leadership, with friends like Alex, like Jesse, that have sent me individual texts, you know, Pastor Robert actually sent me a verse. And this is something that we all have to remember. And it's in Proverbs 3:5. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him and he shall direct you." And that's exactly what's going to happen today. I'm trusting in the Lord. And what we're going to talk about today is we're going to be in Romans chapter 5 verses 1 through 5. And what that book is, those verses are talking about are trials and tribulations. And that's something that everybody goes through. So if you're here for the first time, I hope you really get something out of this. So if you'll turn to your Bibles, let me open up in prayer first. Lord, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to stand before family and friends and congregation and just speak your word. Something that we all go through, praying that you would just touch our hearts and help us to realize what we need to do when we go through these things. And the bottom line is we need to go to you and lean on you because you're the one who guides us in everything. So, Father, I lift up this study to you. I thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that these words would touch our family, our friends, and our congregation this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Romans 5, 1 through 5, we'll do like we normally do. We'll read the verses, and then we'll go down and break them down individually. So it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." In my Bible, it says, "Faith triumphs trouble." And that is so awesome. I really like that. Because faith is the complete trust and confidence in someone or something, a strong belief in God, based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. So basically what we're saying is, we don't need to have that physical proof to trust in God. When a sinner becomes a true believer, a change takes place. Having been justified by faith means that we have a peace with God. It means that God is declaring that those who received Christ to be righteous. So when you and I repented and accepted Christ into our hearts, God declared us to be righteous. This wasn't something we had to work for, but was given to us. And I think that's pretty awesome because of what Christ did. He brought us into a place of undeserved privilege so that we look forward to God's glory. I have a shirt that you have, if you've been here long enough, you've seen me wear it. It's a blue shirt. It says that I'm not the man I should be, but thank God I'm not the man I used to be. And that's true. because the man I used to be was the man that I am not today. I was one who did not treat my family well. I thought of the world. I thought of the money. And that's not what is going to make me happy. God is what's going to make me happy. When you receive Christ in your heart, you have changed dramatically. Because I can tell you that 8 years ago when I came to this state, I never thought that I'd be standing and teaching in front of a congregation. I never thought that I'd be telling you guys what God has done for me and what he can do for you when you go through these trials and tribulations. Okay? There's so much more in the Bible. Strength, love, hope, character. All of these things is what God has given to us that he's trying to mold us and shape us into what he wanted us to be. So when we go and we accept Christ, then we have gone ahead and basically said, we are going to change. We are no longer going to be of this world. But in order to change and not be part of this world, we get to go through what's called trials and tribulations. That's the fun part, isn't it? How many people pray and say, dear God, send me through these trials today. Give me some sort of trouble that I can go through. Yeah, me too. None of us do that. So verse 3 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance. We all have them every single day. We have them at home. We have them at work. We have them with family. We have them buying a house. We have them doing a wedding. We have them with baby showers. Yes, I'm referring to my own personal family on that. Because that seems what we've been having to go through the last few years. But God is going to allow that. And why does God allow that? Because he's trying to show you what you can be. I remember when I first moved up to Washington, my dad was helping me through a devotional or a teaching. And the first verse that was in the book that we had is one that's one of my favorite. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, the temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will allow the temptation to be more than you. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out. So when you go through these trials, when you go through these troubles, when you go through these temptations, don't think that you're the only one going through them. We've had men's group where we've been able to sit and talk, and it's amazing how much we go and we realize how much we're going through all of these. Another verse is James 1, 2 through 4. And it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. First Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials show that your faith is genuine. It is being here tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. All of these say the same thing. We're going to go through these trials and tribulations. It could be something that we need. It could be something that we have forgotten. It could be something that we have strayed from. It could be that we need a reminder that God created us for that specific purpose. And we're trying to change it to our purpose. So no matter what the reason is, he will get us through it and he will take care of us. Now, when you have the words in there like endurance or perseverance, you know, you think of, well, I think of law enforcement, emergency services, military. You have to go through a physical trial, test, to pass these accomplishments that you want to get. But as Christians, we need to have that perseverance. We need to have that endurance. Okay? So, perseverance is a steady determination to keep both, to keep going. Both are basically saying the same thing. I'm sorry, let me back up here. Okay. So, perseverance and endurance are saying the same thing. We both basically have to say that, it is a steady determination to keep going. Both are basically saying the same thing, which is that we have to be able to get through these difficult times, whether it's work, finances, home, whatever. You know, right now, stuttering, okay? I could very easily just stop and be like, no. But I'm not going to do that. That's not what God's put in my heart. Let me tell you right now that I have had so many blessings from this church. Not just those that are here, but from our leadership. From, like I said, Alex, Jesse, you know, my family. Everybody is looking or wanting me to do good. You know, you stand up here, you want to talk the word, you want to be able to tell everybody what God's done for you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. I am not going to allow my nervousness to stop me from telling you how good God is. That's just the bottom line. So even though I have stuttered, I'm still going to continue and let you know that he is there with me and he's going to be there with you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You think of athletes when you're talking endurance also. They have a race they're trying to run, whether it's a sprint, whether it's a marathon. Well, we have a race every single day until we're in heaven with Christ. And that race means that we have to show everybody who we are, who Christ is in us. And the only way we can do that is by building character, building hope, going through these trials. Hebrews 10:36 says, patience, endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that has promised. If you know me, you know that one of my favorite people, and that's because I spend a lot of time growing up in Southern California, that I have gone to is Pastor Greg Laurie at Harvest. And one of the things that he said was, when we go through trials, disappointments, and heartaches, and feel so completely alone, remember Jesus is with us. And this is true because he is always with us. Whether you have a bad week, bad day, bad month. This is why rejoicing when you go through trials is a good thing. It helps us to build character. When I have a bad day at work, when you have a bad day at home, right? People are going to look at you and see how you handle it. The big thing is that you have to show them that you are handling it in a Christ-like manner. When I get done with a bad day, believe it or not, I actually thank you, Lord, for getting me through this day. That's how we get through those days. We get through them by thanking him. Verse 4 says, and perseverance produces character, character hope. As I was doing some studying on this, I was looking at character. And what I found was character is defined as the mental, moral qualities distinctive to an individual. It's what makes you different from other people. This is what people see when they look at us. And do we have that character to show that Christ is in us? One of the things that I was reading and studying was how Paul was talking talking about Timothy's character. I never realized this. As long as I've come here and as long as I have had the studies, I didn't realize that Timothy was a young man. In his late teens, early 20s is what I found out. But he had such character that Philippians 2, 20 through 23 says, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state," talking about Timothy, "for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus. But you know this, you know his proven character, that as a son with a father, he served me in the gospel." Timothy had a genuine faith at a young age, and the elders noticed him because of his character, and he served as Paul's representative to several churches. That is awesome in my mind. You know, when you go to a new job, are you not trying to impress those around you? Are you not trying to make them see that you are reliable, that you can be trusted? Whether you're old, whether you're young, you're going to do that. But to be basically one of our youth to do that would be amazing. You know, Pastor Robert talked about it, I believe it was last Sunday, how he would love to have the youth be trained up all the way up. So when they go to college, right? And we all, well, hopefully, everybody has seen that movie, God's Not Dead, where somebody said that professor was wrong. And that's the character that Timothy had. And that's what's so great. He had faith. And that's what we all should have. We should have that same faith in God. The other night, I was watching a movie called Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade. Now, if you've seen it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's not so much the movie part of it, but it's the actual step that he did. Because there's one part in there that says, a leap of faith. Indiana Jones is trying to save his dad who's been shot. He's got to go through these trials. And one of them is he has to have a leap of faith with God. So what does he have to do? There is a canyon where he has to cross to try to get to the Holy Grail so he can save his dad and all of that. That's not important. What's important is he had to have that hope. He had to have that faith that God would not allow him to fall. And if you've seen that movie before, he does this right here, closes his eyes, and takes a step. What he doesn't realize is that what he's looking at is a plank that was very well painted to look like that cliff and the walls and everything like that. But my point is this. Shouldn't we have that same faith every single day? Shouldn't we just close our eyes and do this right here and know that God's not going to let me fall down there? Know that God is going to take care of me? If we're trusting in the world and ourselves to take care of what we need, then we're doing it wrong, and we should be trusting in God to take care of us. Proverbs 3:7 is a good reminder of what we shouldn't be doing, which says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." That shirt I was telling you about earlier, that was me. That was me trusting in myself, not trusting in God. When you trust in yourself, you're going to let yourself down. That's just the bottom line. Everybody else is going to let you down too. Why? Because you're going to have a bad attitude. When you trust in God, you are going to be so much better. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of good things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And Psalms 31:24 says, "Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." And that's why we go those through those tribulations, so that we can build a character. When you're building character, you're building trust. When you're building trust, what you have to say means something. So when we have Christ in our hearts and we can build that trust, then people will know who we are and they'll know what Christ has done for us. Verse 5 says, "And this hope will not disappoint. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." He's not going to disappoint us. And he's not going to abandon us. He's going to continue to work on us for what he created us to be. Whether you're here today in person or watching on Facebook or hearing this message on our website, I want you to know one thing. And I mean that from my heart. That God loves you. God loves you more than your wife, than your father, than your brother. He loves you so much. And he's going to do whatever he needs to prove that to you. I found this quote, and it didn't have a name, but I liked it. It says, "I know you're either worried, overwhelmed, struggling in some way, or questioning God, but listen, he loves you and has a plan to bring you out of this stronger, brighter, and better than you were before. You're going to make it." For those of us that are older, that sort of sounds like the $6 Million Man. It is. Make you stronger, better, faster, you know. But it's true. It really is. You know, when you have people in your life that God has put there, he's put them in there for a reason. He's put them in there to help you out with whatever you're going through. Nobody likes to go through trials. Nobody likes to go through tribulations. But we need them, because it's going to make us better than what we are. The one thing that I can honestly say is that without Christ in my heart, without Christ in my life, I would not be the father that I am, the husband that I am, the son that I am, the brother that I am. I would be a total wreck. This church is small, but it's powerful. It really is. A few years ago, we were doing Thanksgiving outreaches. We were doing Harvest October. What was that?
Harvest Festival.
Harvest Festival. Thank you. We were doing Christmas outreaches. Why? Because we were touching the community. And even though we were going through those trials as a church, we were still able. God was still providing us to provide for that community. Whether it was a meal, whether it was clothes, whether it was a word, whether it was to come out and have a good time. So if you're ever doubting what you're going through, why you're going through it, my personal opinion, you're not seeking God. You're not looking for the one who created you. You're not looking for the one who can support you, the one who can heal you, the one that can give you that encouragement. It's very, very, very satisfying when you can wake up, you can read a verse, and you can understand what it's talking about. I love everybody here, I love when I get to see Corey, you know. I love when I get to see him, you know. Trevor, if you don't know Trevor, Trevor is such a big-hearted servant. He will take care of us in any way. And that's not to take away from anybody else. That really isn't. These are just people that I'm closer with. But I want to be closer to others in this church. And the only way I can do that is by reading more and having that conversation. Our Grow Discipleship is talking about us being able to defend our faith. Well, in order to defend our faith, we need to actually go and talk to people. We need to talk to them about it. Hear what they have to say so that we can defend it. A lot of verses that we give all the time, and sometimes, you know, you can write them down, you can look them up. Sometimes it'll affect you one way, sometimes it won't. But we have this book right here. This book right here has so many answers. And I can tell you that because of how my life was. This helped me out so much. When you get into a church like ours that is small but powerful in prayer, in the community, it just makes you want to do more. So I hope that when you go through trials this week, I hope when you have problems, whether it's financial, whether it's work-related, whether it's a family member, whatever it may be, I hope you remember that God put you in that position. God put that situation in your life for a reason. You know, my son-in-law, he's in a very tough industry, you know, and he still perseveres. He still goes through. Why? Because people see that he's got character and he'll take care of them, you know. And that's what we want. We want people to see us, but we want them to see us with Christ in our lives. So again, if you're here seeing this for the first time on Facebook, if you're here live, or if you're listening to it on our website, please know one thing. God loves you. God loves you more than anybody else will ever love you. God's going to be there for you. Accept Christ into your heart. Repent from your sins and become a better person. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for this family that you've allowed me to be a part of. I thank you for everything that you've done. I pray that anybody that is going through these trials, that you would be with them, Father, and that you would remind them that you are there. I also want to lift up today our leadership, Father, praying that you would keep them safe and that you would bring them back safe, Lord. And I thank you for our teachers and for all that they do every week and how they just minister to our children. So, Father, as we go out today, please just bless the rest of this day for us. Guide us through the rest of this day. But let us not forget what you've done for us, and let us continue to look for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for the last song.